unable to go to your kingdom through our own self. But thank you for the cross. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated.
Good afternoon. For those of you who don't know me yet, I'm the other elder, and I'm also the other Alan. That's the prerequisite to be not an elder here. Your name has to be Alan. Anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just lift up to you this coming this afternoon. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be upon each one of us. And Lord, that we will get something from your word this afternoon. And that it will continue in our transformation in becoming more like your Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one that we honor during this season. And Lord, there are a lot of distractions. But Lord, have your Holy Spirit convict us of who is really the priority, who needs to be glorified, who needs our whole focus and attention during this time. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So how's the Christmas shopping going on?
Almost done.
Almost done. All right. So have you made your list? Check it twice? No, who's been naughty or nice? Sounds like it's awful. Okay, but no worries, right? Because you still have, what, over a week of shopping? Okay, but one of the most important part in all of our Christmas observance here in the U.S. and throughout parts of the world is what? What is the number one important part of the Christmas time? The shopping, right? That's the biggest deal wherever you go. It's the shopping. The Christmas shopping. The buying and exchanging of gifts. Many will exclaim triumphantly, well, at least the Bible tells us that there is a gift giving in the Christmas, right? Didn't the wise man give gifts when Christ was born? Well, we have that. But from what I understand, in one of the songs we did about the shepherds, I believe in the Bible it says, when the angels had gone away after announcing to them that Christ was born, the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. That, I believe, was the first Christmas rush, when the shepherds was rushing towards Bethlehem to see the Christ Jesus. So, the thing about this is, there is no biblical basis at all about the exchange of gifts or gift giving as far as the original Christmas story. And even if that were so, the way that it's going on today, it's kind of weird. Let's say it is your birthday, and a lot of people are coming, invited to your party. Okay? And once they get to your house, they'll say, oh, hi, how you doing? How you doing? And then they will proclaim that it is your birthday, and then they all start swapping gifts. And you're just sitting there wondering what's going on. Now, isn't that what's going on usually in Christmas? We're celebrating the birthday of Jesus, but who are we giving gifts to? Each other. We're honoring each other. So, there's something wrong with that. This is exactly what people here and people around us are doing. Honoring a day that is not really Christ's birthday, by spending every dime they can scrape together, going into debt, spending, even on things that they cannot afford, in buying presents to give, to trade, and back and forth with people, friends and relatives. So, in Matthew chapter 2:11, we see the original Christmas gifts that were given. This was after the, but the wise men came. Actually, the Bible does not tell us anything about the number. The number of three wise men or three kings is a tradition. And when they came, they stopped by the palace of Herod to ask for directions, because they have found out that there was a king born. They have come from the east. And most scholars say this, they were probably coming from Babylon. And they wanted to worship and pay homage to this king that was born. And so Herod asked his scribes and the other professional religious leaders what was going on. And they looked, and it says there in the Bible that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. And so that's what they told him. And in Matthew 2:11, it says, after coming into the house, these are the Magi, or the wise men. After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is actually a common practice in the East, and even today, there are some places that it is practiced where when you come or go to approach a king or a person of a dignitary, you do not show up empty-handed. You bring gifts. And this custom is often noticed throughout the Old Testament. One example, when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, it says she brought gifts with her. And this is still prevailing attitude. Like sometimes when we're visiting some friends, even if we're not dignitaries, we bring something when we're invited for dinner. So it's kind of tradition. But somehow, during this time, what is curious about after stopping by at the palace of Herod, who was the king at the time of Israel, they did not present him any gifts. The wise men from Babylon did not bring any gifts for Herod. And he is actually the reigning king at that time in this region. And neither did they give any gifts to the religious leaders or the noblemen that's hanging out in the court. So when they only brought gifts for the real king. But the real king was in a manger. And that was the one who actually got a gift. None of these other people got any gifts from them. So somehow these magi saw beyond the present and into the future. And in deep faith, they worshipped the Messiah. They saw that this child would one day rule the world. And they were not ashamed to fall on their faces before him and worship him. Now, we do not know, the Bible does not tell us, what the family of Joseph did with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But most people, most theologians believe that this came in handy when they had to make a quick exit for Egypt, because Herod was coming after them. So the gold and all those gifts would have been very handy in providing for their needs during that escape to Egypt. Now, I'm not about to stand here and be legalistic about this and say no more gift giving, no more exchanging of gifts. But what I want to bring out is, let us put our priority in perspective. What is the main point of all these things, of all the gift-giving and whatever practice we're doing in Christmas? It all boils down to honoring God, giving Him thanks, appreciating what He did by providing Himself, the God, the Creator of the world, provided himself as the sacrifice for our sin. He left heaven, everything that is the glory of heaven, he left all of that and came down to us, born in a manger, to become the sacrifice for all of us. That was his gift, the gift of salvation to Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:8, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And not only that, usually in Christmas we're giving gifts to our friends, relatives, and family members. I don't know, do anyone here, when they're Christmas shopping, thinking, okay, what can I give this guy who's giving me a hard time in the office? But this guy who's my enemy. But that is what God did. In Romans 5:8, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Christ gave a gift even to his enemies. So the question now is, we have, God has given us a gift, which is the gift of salvation. But the question now is, what have we done with our gift? Is it making a difference in our life now? Have we unwrapped that gift? Some people have accepted the gift of salvation, but never unwrapped it. And they're wondering why it's not making any difference in their life. Because that's a package deal. It came with a lot of other gifts. So, what are we doing about it? Are we using it? Now, if it is just sitting there and doing nothing and not being unwrapped, it is no good to us at all. But one of the things we could do in exchange for this gift that we are given is to use it, open it, employ everything that is available for us. Use all the gifts that was given. We have the fruit of the Spirit, which the spiritual gifts. We have, what other gifts do we have? We have, very important, the Holy Spirit. That is part of the gift. If we, in Romans 7, we talk about, we see everything that Paul is going through, why he can't understand, why he wants to do what's right, but he can't do it. And then finally he's frustrated and said, "What can I do?" And then comes, good thing, there was chapter 8 that comes next. And through chapter 8 we see through the Spirit. Every verse through the Spirit, through the Spirit. If there's something that we can do, because we have not opened that gift. We have received the gift, but we have not opened it. And we are not using that gift. So this Christmas, let's honor the gift giver. Decorate our lives and our fellowship as a church with the fruit of the gift. Individually, let's display love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's all found in Galatians 5:22-23. And in our community, let's love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love. Showing eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lack in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Later on, during the offering, we will have that opportunity to contribute to the needs of the saints. And I'll talk about, Alan will talk about it later. Light up our driveways. You know, since we're putting out decorations and lights and everything, why don't we light up our driveways with hospitality? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Let us not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Consider what is good before all people, if possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. And I have just enumerated to you Romans 12:9-18. if you're familiar with Romans, the first 11 chapters, Paul is talking about everything that God has done for us. The gift, how that gift is working in us, in everything. And starting in chapter 12, then he tells us, because you have this gift, because you are now this, this is what you are supposed to do. He reminded everybody that this is who you are now. And this is how you're supposed to act. And I have just enumerated to you some of the things that he listed that as Christians, as those who have accepted the gift of salvation, that is what is expected of us. Now, how about this Christmas? What are we to do? Let's give the gift of the gospel to everyone. Well, you know, like material gifts, some will accept it and then put it away. That happens with Christmas gifts and other gifts, right? And some will joyfully accept it, and then they will hide it, not even wrap it. And some might actually reject it. I have actually experienced that. One of our relatives, I gave some Christian CDs to her son, and then she gave it back to me and said, since they're Catholic, they don't listen to those things. They rejected the gift. And that happens when we share the gospel. We are sharing a gift to them, and they reject it. And then also what? Some may say, all right, they will accept it. And then they will exchange it for something else. Material things, other priorities in their life. So all it is they accept it and then exchange it. We have, which happens to the material Christmas gifts. And then also, there's the one that should inspire all of us. Those who will accept the gift. When we share the gift of salvation that Jesus has given us, and they will cherish it, they will enjoy it, and they will actually use it, and then they will share it with others. I hope we do the same and consider this Christmas our best opportunity to share the greatest gift of all. Jesus coming down as human to die for us and made every one of us savable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will all take notice of what this Christmas is really all about. That it is you, our God, because of your amazing love for us, came down from your glory in heaven to become like one of us and to die on the cross. You were born to die a very cruel death so that we don't have to, so that we will escape the punishment that we all deserve. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all. Thank you, Lord, for sharing.